All right, church. Welcome back. Welcome back, college students. I understand Blue Ridge Community College got started over a week ago. JMU, Bridgewater, EMU, they're all starting in class this week. Want to do a shout out to the JMU men's soccer team. Won their first game Friday night, play again tonight. Go Dukes. Just saying, 37 years ago, JMU also won their first game of the season on the soccer team. I know this. Also want to welcome the Prague team back. A few of them, yeah, they're loud in the house. Okay, last Sunday, Mike Souder did a wonderful job sharing on one of our eight values. He shared on the value of worship. And I think it was one of his finest messages. I listened to it over the weekend. And the one that's on the web, I believe, is from Second Service. And part of his message on worship, he invited people to participate and to share prayers of love and thanksgiving. And you need to listen to it. I cried. You guys are amazing. You illustrated the value we're going to preach about today. We're going to talk about authentic community, and your prayers were genuine, sincere, not flower, not religious. They were heartfelt, real, true. So I'm proud of you, church. Way to go, Mike. Great message. Today's message is on our value of authentic community. We have eight values in total. We're going to just take a moment, focus on worship last week, focus on authentic community this week. Next week, we're going to try something. Sue and I are going to preach a sermon together on our mission and vision. It's going to be fun. We're going to get some help. She's laughing already. Yeah, she's probably already finished with her message. I'll be finishing mine Saturday night next week. We're a little different, but we're in love. Okay, so authentic community. And before we get started with authentic community, I want you to just look at those two words, really strong words by themselves. And so I want you to think about what one word synonyms you would give for those words respectively. So we're gonna participate a little bit. You okay with that, I hope? Shout out, one word synonym for authentic. What do you got? Real. Genuine. Truthful. Transparent. Honest, did someone say? Don't be bashful. Trustworthy. Ran out of gas already? Pardon?
Safe.
Great word. Okay, how about community?
Gathering.
Friends,
neighbor.
Connection, neighbor,
fellowship,
fun, Prague team,
family,
good words. Okay, the one of the key aspects of community is more than one. Okay, not isolated, a group of. My handy-dandy definition would be a group of people who share something together. All right, so authentic community. Together, it's a powerful word. Here's our statement for authentic community and our values. You can catch this on the web. Growing deeper in Christ is transformational and life-changing, resulting in authentic relationships marked by service and genuine care for one another. Caring for people and developing authentic relationships best occur in smaller groups. You might agree that Grace Covenant Church is a fairly large church. It's above average in size. And it is hard to establish authentic community relational connections with 800 to 1,000 people. That's maybe possible for you in Facebook fake world, but it isn't possible in real life. Okay? So authentic community, we believe, best happens in smaller group connections, smaller settings. And we're gonna give you a chance to engage with that later on in the service. So the game plan for this message is that I'm gonna share some information. I'm gonna be informational. Then I'm gonna, and it'll be truth, not just my ideas. It'll be scripture. And so we'll cover some information, and then I'm going to try and I'll offer some inspiration. I'm going to share something personally, and then I'm going to share a really great small group story right out of the Bible. And then we're going to have application. So informational, inspirational, applicational. Okay, that's not a word, but you get it. All right? So that's where we're going. Now, we've shared some synonyms for these words. Let's talk about what authentic community is not. Authentic community is not, and I tried to come up with the most stark words to capture the exact opposite. And so fake community is not, there, I gave it away. Authentic community is not fake individuality. That would be like the antithesis, the opposite end of the continuum. So it's not that. And authentic community is not fake community. Have you ever been around a group of people who are gathered for some common reason, some common purpose, and everyone in the room is posturing and pretending, and it's just exhausting, isn't it? You ever done that in a church group? I want you to just think. I don't want you to blurt anything out loud now. It would be too convicting. So think about it. I went to a safe place, and I thought about I had a previous vocation in software development. I remember one of the professional gatherings I was at, and everybody was talking lingo and jazz, and everyone was trying to be impressive. And it was so exhausting. And maybe you've been in professional gatherings like that where there's fake community going on. I remember my wife was in real estate, and she was really good at it. And she led an office of the largest real estate firm back when I was courting her. And while we were courting, I think it was either a Christmas party or some reception. And I didn't know anyone in the room. Everyone knew Sue, and she was introducing me to everybody. And whew. That was not authentic community for me. Okay? So those are professionals. Have you ever been around a group of believers and everyone's saying all these amazing things and you're just not sure how for real anybody is? So authentic community is not fake individuality. It's not fake community. So here's my slide of what it's not, but we're going to focus on what it is. Authentic individuals are wonderful people. I love being around people who are honest, sincere, secure in who they are, and share. But if they're all by themselves, they're not totally reflecting the body of Christ, because we are members of a body. Christ is the head, and we're together. And so body life, community, that's what we want to stress here, okay? More than one. All right. So there's several building blocks for authentic community. The first scripture, 1 John 1:7. I'm just flying through my notes. Let's read this together. This is the New Living Translation. 1 John 1, I'll start in verse 5. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. That's a great definition for authentic, practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship, we have community, we have relational connection with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. One of the building blocks scripturally, biblically, for authentic community is living our lives in the light. Being open, One of the words somebody shared earlier, transparent. Being true, being real about who you are. Okay? Means no hiding, no pretending, no faking, no covering up junk and acting better than we are. Not exaggerating. I only do that sometimes, and Sue calls me out on it. Exaggerating. No lying. I want you to know that living our lives in the light is not the way our culture behaves. It's countercultural. Our world has become very good at hiding and pretending. Just the whole marketing, advertising world. If I just drove a different car, my life would be happy forever. What an exaggeration of what a product can do. Our culture is so much this way that we get drawn into it and we begin to behave that way and think it's almost normal and not a problem. But being authentic and true and genuine and sincere in our relationships at home, in our relationships at school, at work, in church, when we live this way, people will notice and we will stand out. And we will be like the light that shines through our lives. Truth and authenticity are good. They're what God desires for each one of us. There's two scriptures I want to give you right here. They're not on the screen. They're memorizable because they're pretty short. But 1 John 1:9 makes this claim and promise. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, if we confess our faults, our weaknesses, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the truth of God's word is if we live our lives in the light, if we're honest about who we are, if we take responsibility for our junk and our stuff, he promises that he will cleanse us from that. That's life. That's the freedom we were singing about and talking about through worship. James 5:16 goes further. So confessing our sin to him keeps our relationship with the Heavenly Father clean. James 5:16 says, if we confess our sins to each other and pray for each other, we will be healed. That's good news too. So the world would say, if you confess your stuff, then it's going to be used to shame you, to condemn you, and to destroy you and isolate you. And many of us have experienced that. Some of us have taken some risks in relationships and we've shared things, and then it has come back to be used to judge us or to condemn us or to betray us. And so, you know, the answer is, well, I'll just get in a cocoon and I'll protect myself and I will take care of me and I won't trust another person. And all of that is natural self-preservation, but it isn't the kingdom of God. It isn't scripture. Our enemy, Satan, he embodies darkness and he wants to draw us into darkness and keep us there. And his lie is this lie. If I'm open and if I'm honest about my stuff, it'll be used to harm me. But Jesus says, if we confess it, if we're open, he will forgive us and cleanse us. And we can, when we share that with one another, we can be healed. It's a really different promise, really different reality. It's risky for sure, no question about it. Authentic community is risky business, and it's hard work, but it's normal life in the kingdom of God. Really quiet in here, church. All right, the second building block for authentic community is this one, unity. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul is talking to the believers in Corinth, and the context of this is there's been a bunch of arguing and division in the church. Some of the people who are following Jesus say, I'm a disciple of Paul, and some of them are saying, well, my spiritual father is Apollos, and another one is saying, I follow Peter. And so everybody was busy grabbing a hold of their spiritual heritage and making a big deal, and it was dividing them. I follow Paul and I follow Peter, and so he was giving an appeal, a strong appeal in the verses that follow in this letter for unity, for not letting needless things divide us. And so he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus, live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. That's a pretty big appeal. Now, I look around this room right now, and you guys are so different in beautiful ways. We have a really large age range in this room right now. We've got men and women. We've got people with different political views in this worship service. We've got people who have really strong opinions on how to raise your children. Others who feel strongly about the way to educate, what the best way for educating our children. We have so many different convictions about really, we're just really different. You know this, yes? We come from really different backgrounds economically, socially. Met somebody who comes from Alabama. I love the way she talks. It's way better than my English. We are so varied and different ethnically. All kinds of different backgrounds reflected. We could be divided on so many issues if we make them more important than Jesus. But we won't. So help us, God. Ephesians 4 says there's one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. In our Colossians summer series, we were reminded that Jesus is supreme over all, and he holds everything together, especially his body, the church. So don't let our differences, whatever they are, divide us and destroy community. Okay? That's the appeal that Paul makes, and I join him in it. So another building block for community. Live in the light. Don't let needless things divide us. Preserve the unity. Be united in Christ. Third building block comes right from Jesus' teaching. He's talking to his disciples as he's preparing them for his departure. And he says, I'm giving you a new commandment, chapter 13, verse 34. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love, love, love. That's a song. Many songs. Love. And I just have to say, we can't take a whole lesson sermon on love. It is enormous. We do a 10-part series, not exhaust love the way God loves us. But love costs us something. Love is serving. Love is caring for one another. Love is serving, caring, sacrificing. Love costs. Love is way more than warm feelings. And if we're going to have authentic community, we'll need the building blocks of love, of unity, and of living our lives in the light. Okay? So there's three. That's good. Every good sermon has three points in it, right? Okay. So I wanna share a few stories. We're gonna get to a Bible story. Model a little authenticity. So this week, actually, the last 10 days have been particularly challenging and difficult. And to tell the story well would take a really long time, so I'm going to abbreviate it like crazy. But 55 years ago, I was born in Harrisonburg, Virginia. No, I'm not. No, no, no. Love you, Mom. 8 years ago, in response to a prophetic time of ministry by our friend Dwayne White, I felt prompted to gather a group of people and start a community nonprofit that we called New Dimensions of Grace. And that community nonprofit was going to identify needs in our community and then begin addressing them and meeting them through partnerships or through starting up ministry. And so one of the first initiatives that this group, this founding board came up with was to provide a child care center for this southern part of Harrisonburg in the county. And there's a huge need for child care in our community, still is. And so we launched this child care 7 years ago. And over the years, it has grown to serve more and more people. And then back in May, for a number of reasons, a lot of turmoil broke out in our Oasis Child Care, and we had tremendous turnover of staff and families. And so we went from a pretty large child care center of over 100 children being served and over 35 staff to 40-some children that we were serving and only about 20 staff. So we had some real struggles. And so we prayed as a board, and we said, what do you want to do, Lord? And we sought the Lord, and we felt like if we can find the right leadership, we can weather this storm and come out victorious. So we prayed, we sought, we interviewed, we found this person that we felt like could lead us through the turmoil, and they joined our staff, and we worked really hard, prayed harder, tried harder, and then the whole thing started to crumble a few weeks ago, and 10 days ago, we decided the Lord was directing us to close Oasis Child Care. So we announced it last Sunday, prepared as much as we could, the families and the children and the staff. And then Monday morning, when the Oasis opened for one of its last 2 weeks, I sat in the office and had conversations with staff as they were learning and processing the closure and talked with families. And I've had more unfun conversations in the last week than I've had in a really long time. And there were conversations that were really difficult. There were conversations that were really blessed and everything in between. And I've said sorry more times. And I didn't just say it because you're supposed to say it. I feel sorry. 20-some staff are looking for jobs. 30-some families are looking for child care. Many of them have found it. Thank you, Jesus. I knew it was going to be a difficult week, so I was texting and sending everybody who prays, pray, help, pray. And they were. And I just want to say, if I had tried to navigate all of this change and this closure process solo, I would be cinders. It would have nuked me. Couldn't have done it by myself. Had a wonderful board that walked through that closure with us, made that decision together. Have wonderful church staff who prayed for us. Sent it to my prayer warrior team. Sent it to the elders, to the church staff. Prayer got us through. So we're in 1 week of a 2 week closure. So tomorrow marks the last week for Oasis. I don't know about you all, but I really like to share stories when they're all done and clean and I know what the moral of the story is and I understand everything. Don't you like, isn't it neater? I'm a mess. I'm pretty confused about some things. I know that later on I'm going to have some really good leadership lessons I've learned from this. But right now, I just feel sad. So here's what I want you to hear. Here's why I felt like the Lord wanted me to share the story. It was a divine setup. It's talking about authentic community. I thought I'd fake that everything was really great. I'd pretend that we never even had a child care center for 7 years and invested all of those hours and heart into people. That doesn't work. Who knew we'd be talking about authentic community? I multiple times almost called up Sue, Catherine, or Mike and said, it's your turn. You get to preach. I'm taking a pass. So here's what I want to share. All of that, you know, I'm going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Sue said, he doesn't control us, but he is in control. We can trust him with everything. There's a song that has this lyric, even when I don't understand, I can trust you. Yeah. It's so simple, but so life-giving. So here's what I want to say. Here's my sorry. See, God in his wisdom had us set up the New Dimensions of Grace nonprofit as a separate entity from the church. But because I'm a leader on that community ministry, and because the church has been the place that this daycare has been hosted for 7 years, people are angry at Grace Covenant Church. And some of you have had conversations with community people who say, what is going on over at your church? That's messed up. It is. So I'm sorry, church. I'm sorry that the closure of Oasis has given people a bad impression of Grace Covenant Church. Grace Covenant Church has done nothing wrong. They have fallen over themselves with generosity. They've given free space to this child care center. It has given hundreds of staff hours that were never compensated. We have done all we could do. The church rocks. But the community doesn't know that. Parts of it don't, anyhow. And so I'm just really sorry that people have a negative impression of the church because the child care center failed. So sorry. Okay, let's look at a story in the Bible. There's a story in Luke 7 about a small group meeting. Some of you are in small groups. Hundreds of Grace Covenant Church people are in small groups. So here's a small group story in Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase because the Message paraphrase is a really good storytelling language. So here's Luke chapter 7. Pardon me. Looks like it's Luke chapter 6 in my... This is going out on tape. We may not say it in the wrong... Luke chapter 7, verse 36. I'm going to read from the Message paraphrase. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus over for a meal. So this is small group meeting, dinner meeting. Those are the best. There's food. Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down at the dinner table. And just then a woman of the village, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came. You can discern there was no invitation, but she came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed them, and anointed them with the perfume. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is falling all over him." Jesus said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Oh, tell me," he said. "Two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, so the banker canceled both debts. Which of the two would be most grateful?" And Simon answered, "I suppose the one who was forgiven the most." "That's right," said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, "Do you see this woman?" I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, but she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. You gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. Then Jesus spoke to her, I forgive your sins. That set the dinner guests talking behind his back. Who does he think he is, forgiving sins? Jesus ignored them and said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. All right, let's summarize here. See if we understand authentic community. Who is the authentic person in this story? The woman, certainly. There's another one. Jesus, yeah. That's always the right answer, church. Come on. The authentic woman is authentic. She is desperate. She doesn't have anything else to lose. She just puts herself out there. Okay, who is the faker? Simon. And all of his guests who were talking behind Jesus' back. Who is this who forgives sin? So they're having a really good fake community small group dinner meeting. Never been to one of those, I hope. Don't talk about it if you have. They're acting religious. They're acting impressive. And then some lady in all of her mess screws up the whole meeting. And makes everyone uncomfortable. So uncomfortable, they don't even look at her. So Jesus said, do you see her? Well, I'm trying not to, actually. Have you ever been in a small group meeting where someone goes off the rails and they just won't quit talking? And your way of communicating, this has got to stop, is you look at the floor, right? You don't acknowledge a person when they're going into awkward territory. But she's being who she is. And she doesn't care about these religious people. She just cares about the one who loves her and forgives her just the way she is. It's powerful. So we get a picture of fake community. We get a picture of authenticity. We get a picture of this scripture that we started with, this one building block, which says when we live our lives in the light, it doesn't destroy us, it doesn't shame and humiliate us, it actually saves us, we get forgiveness, and we're set free. But it's messy at times. All right, so small groups. We believe that caring for people and developing authentic connections, authentic relationships, genuine, sincere, life-giving, truth-telling relationships happen in smaller groups. So we've had information, we've had the truth of Scripture, we've had a few stories about authenticity, and so now it's application. So what we're going to do is... there's a really great last slide. Here, you can take a picture of that one. So there it is, your steps to success for your whole life. I'll sell you this slide and your life will be complete. Let your light shine. Let light shine in your life. Be open and honest about who you are. Don't let divisions break up our relationships. Preserve the unity in Christ. Love, serve, and care for each other. Treat others as more important than yourselves. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to what we're going to do is we're going to honor some small group leaders who serve in your midst. And some of them you know, some of them you might not know. But there's going to be an opportunity at the close to make a few relational connections. We want you to be involved in life-giving small groups. Now, we have almost 40 small groups in Grace right now, and almost four, maybe more than 400 people involved in small groups. And we want everyone involved. And all of these groups, well, you actually can't be a part of all these groups, because some of these groups are for women only, and some of these groups are for men only. All right, and some of them are already full, but we are adding new groups, as Sue mentioned. And there's a really wonderful resource for helping you learn about the small groups that are in our church, and that's on the website. Just go hit our website, look at small groups, and there is just all this great information and a really easy way for you to express your interest. Another thing, and Sue noted this, there are these in the seat backs. You can take this with you. And you can look over this. There's an opportunity to connect, embrace, engage with a small group that will go for a few weeks here this fall. Some a few weeks longer than others. But this is a resource you can take with you. All right, let's all stand. We're gonna close with a benediction. I'll pray blessing over you, church. And it is our practice to have prayer time where we pray in faith for whatever need the body has. So whether it's physical healing, whether it's emotional stuff, whether it's relationship stuff, whatever the need is, you can come and receive prayer. And you can just come and make a few introductions and relational connections if you want. Okay? So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Bev? Whoa. She's an angel. She says, yeah, go for it. So we'll pray, and then when I bless you to go, you're also invited to come for prayer for anything. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here with us. Thank you that you love us completely. Thank you that you love us where we are, no matter what our stuff is, no matter what our junk is. It doesn't overwhelm you. It doesn't put you off. You love us just where we are right now, and you love us so much, you want to shine your light and bring healing and deliverance and freedom and transform us into who you created us to be. So go to work in our lives even more, Lord. Thank you for this church and this family. Pray a blessing and anointing as you go out to live in the light and in the love of Jesus. I bless you, church, to go. In Jesus' name, amen. And I invite you to come. Have prayer, have a conversation, find a small group to connect to. Love you, church.